It's July 20th. Welcome to episode 55 of Digital Outbox. Well, hello there. Good evening. And joining me this week, it's Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Ian.
Hello. And how are you?
Very good. It has been a week where I have now completed Red Dead Redemption.
You swine.
100%. I understand that you haven't even got going really on it yet, have you?
No. To be honest, I was scarred by you riding around the donkey. It put me off the game for life, I think.
I have to say, I think it's probably the best game I've ever played. I very rarely get to 100% on a game like that. And I was very compelled to do it. So, brilliant.
It does make me want to play.
I think you should. I mean, it's definitely worthwhile. I mean, just for the... There was an article, and I think it was in... It was either on Eurogamer or IGN, and they'd done time-lapse photography of the actual game. It is that pretty. And it looks amazing when you see it sped up.
I think the game is one of the prettiest ones out there.
I think when we first talked about it, I said that the game engine wasn't the best ever, and actually, I take that back. I think it really is. The detail and the everything in it is brilliant.
I think it's more the cinematics it presents. There's probably better game engines, like, you know, I'm sure if you got the Unreal Engine up and running beside it, it will probably, you know, it would make it look a bit simple. But
it's the characterization, even the first scene that you get, that everyone's walking off the boat, and they're not just walking off the boat, they're kind of wobbling and tentative. It's just, if you're a gamer and you haven't played this game, I would recommend you get it.
Is that your pick?
Could be, couldn't it, again?
Is that as finished? Yeah, this could be the best show ever. Unfortunately for you, dear listeners, we have news. And first up is probably one of these stories that will just run and run and run.
It's not going away anywhere, is it, unfortunately?
Well, I think it is. It's just
I'm bored of it now. I hope that everyone else is going to get bored of it pretty soon.
So, Antennagate.
Yes, the new name.
They've christened it. So, I started doing some show notes on this when we finished last week's show, and it was, you know, it was now featured in Top Gear about how crap the iPhone is. Consumer Reports seem to change their story every day, and I think that was just going after link bait.
You know, absolutely.
We'll just keep changing it ever so slightly, so it's another news story. And even better, what I didn't realise about Consumer Reports is that actually most of the reporting's all behind a paywall, so you can't actually see it.
I didn't even go and have a look. All I know is that they got quoted.
If you try and find out what their most recommended phones are, you can't see it. This is like the first time they've actually come out and done something in public, just because probably it's so controversial. Allegedly.
Yes.
And also the PR experts were like, you know, this has to be recalled. They have no other choice. So this was rumbling on and rumbling on, and even better, there was some little Microsoft guy. it looks like the iPhone 4 might be their Vista, and I'm okay with that.
Ha ha ha.
Exactly. Which made me chuckle, thinking about how disastrous Vista was and how successful the iPhone is.
Yeah, so Vista, where they hardly sold any, and those they did sell made people's computers break. And the iPhone sold 3 million in 3 weeks.
Yes. So, 4.0.1 came out, which gave you fatter and taller bars.
And I still haven't updated mine yet. I look forward to that.
Yeah, you know what the worst bit, and this really ticked me off, 580 meg to get fatter,
really?
And taller bars. Yeah, because it's the full OS you get.
Because you have
time
to keep every time you have to download it. Yeah, so it's not patched at all, is it? No.
As a developer, it was 3 gig of downloads to get Xcode updated. And you're like, come on.
That's pretty bonkers.
There must be a better way. Even just surely their server costs. Somebody must be sitting there going, hold on. there must be a better way. Now, at that point, I thought this is all going to die down. But then, I guess the big news, Apple did a press conference.
Well, I mean, they did a press conference after. It has to be said that there's endless, I mean, getting hysterical ranting going on in more in the US than anywhere else, to be honest.
Yeah.
About how this is ridiculous. And it's only ranting by, the key bloggers, I guess, you know, making an awful racket.
Another thing that stood out for me, it was a lot of the key bloggers. It didn't say anything in day one or day two. It was only in day five and six. It's almost like a bandwagon.
Yeah, so that, I mean, as soon as someone said, oh, look, you can do this to your phone, they then started doing that, even if they had never noticed it before or whatever. Yeah.
Well, nobody reported it. The only, meaning Gadget, when they did the review, not a mention.
Yeah.
Not a mention at all. So, we cut to Friday. Steve's up on stage. And I guess that the first thing that I was quite surprised at is that they didn't just start with Steve, but they actually started with the iPhone antenna song.
The whole of the press conference was pretty much Apple sticking your fingers up and saying, calm down, shut up, we know best.
Well, the thing is, I think I know now six people that have an iPhone.
Yeah.
And six people that have never had an issue.
Yeah, and I think...
I have loads of other people tell me I've got a really broken phone.
Yeah, everyone who hasn't really got one telling you how broken your phone
everybody's
is.
Everybody's now a bloody antenna expert. everybody knows how these things work.
Including us a couple of weeks ago, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think I'm an expert now. And so they started off an antenna song, which was quite funny, which was basically, I think, just set the tone. So it was like basically shut up. If you don't like it, return it.
Yeah. Which I think is a crap argument, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll get on to that. So, Steve Jobs, we're not perfect, but we've sold 3 million. It's an industry problem. So, they then showed that it's BlackBerry and Android and Nokia all get affected by it.
Which I really didn't like, that whole thing.
I didn't like either. But what's quite interesting is the amount of other people now doing videos, because obviously RIM and Nokia have all turned around and said, don't drag us into this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, 100%. I can't imagine. Sure, they're going to respond. I mean, there's some great funnies out there as well from taking the piss out of Apple again for doing that.
What's quite funny is if I do it on my work Nokia, which I've switched off now to avoid hearing the old beep 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 beeps in the background, but I can death grip my Nokia.
That's a technical term, yeah.
The beep beep beeps. That's it now. Well, this is the thing, because we were talking about it at work today. Somebody was talking about death grip, and I went, but nobody's dropped a call out of doing this.
No, that's it.
You know, which makes me think, are the bars pointless? You know, what are they actually telling you? Do you only care if it works? Does it work or it doesn't work?
And that's surely got to be the state of it. For a phone call, that's definitely the state. For data, I imagine it's a bit more, tuned to what the kind of stream you can get and things like that.
Yep. So so they showed you they brought in other vendors, which again, I think was unnecessary. So I know they're saying it's an industry problem, but I don't think they had to then spend 5 minutes showing each of these individual tests.
And having digs at their algorithms and all that kind of stuff as well.
Especially because they've been caught with their pants down.
Yeah, they've absolutely been caught, haven't they?
I'm still convinced. And if you go to it, there's actually a great post that I linked and skipped by, but Anantech, so they were the guys that actually hacked the iPhone. So instead of showing bars, it showed the actual attenuation figures.
Mm.
And they're showing you the before and after as well, so you can see that what they've done is basically compared the two different formulas, so you can see they're a lot more honest now.
Yeah, and
I'm saying honest, but I don't know. All it looks like is it's reporting now, you know, when it drops from 5 to 4 bars, you know, it looks a lot more, there's a lot less chance of getting a full 5 bars, basically.
One thing it does... It says something that they obviously consider this problem to be big enough that they would come clean about the, you know, the bars not being right, because that's, you know, they kind of brush over that, but that's quite a big thing to admit, really. I know, again, it doesn't make that much difference, but
the only interesting thing that was picked up on the MacBreak Weekly podcast last week, Walt Mossberg in his review. So he's one of these trusted Mac reviewers that gets the stuff early. He actually said that his calls seemed to be a bit better, had some dropped calls. He'd noticed some problems with the actual bars, but Apple assured him that a fix was coming out for that post-launch. He's the only person to have mentioned it. But I think in all the hoo-ha, everybody just missed it.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody was focused on Retina displays and a great design and all the other stuff that everybody usually focuses on, which is probably more to do with Apple and look at all this lovely stuff. There was then stats, and boy was the stats.
So and spun stats as well. You know, he didn't just come and tell you stats. He was all this. The attitude on stage was pretty immense, has to be said.
I think quite rightly they're hacked off.
If I was
selling that product right now and I was getting all the flack that they're getting, I'd be pretty hacked off.
Yep, I'd be hacked off too. Carry on anyway.
No,
I was just going to say, I mean, I'm sure we're going to come to this, but he kept saying, you know, guys, this has been 22 days. That's all, just 22 days. And you're
22 days with camp beds in the car park and all that good stuff.
He said, you've just built it up into this thing that it's not. And that's when he started going on about stats. But it's not just, it is 22 days, but it's 22 days of people saying something and Apple being completely unresponsive. All it would have taken was for someone inside Apple to say, yep, we hear you. We're looking at it.
I don't think they were unresponsive. I think they were cocky. The first answer was, don't hold it that way.
Yeah, okay.
And I think that's stuck in too many people's throats.
Yeah, and it does. And I think that's exactly the problem, was they never respond in the way that would do them a favour.
Well, it took 3 or 4 days and then it started to change. It started into, we're looking at it and we'll come out with something.
And that's all they needed to say in the first place.
If they come out on day one, it would have calmed down. But instead of saying you're holding it wrong, everybody's turned it into, oh, you think so?
I'll put up a video. And they're right. And the people are right to take that on board. But that's turned it into an even bigger thing. So again, Apple with their sort of, the way they respond to criticism is
so, you know, quickly on stats, because I've written them all down, and I feel it would be a shame not to mention them now.
Yeah.
It took hours of copying. So how many people called AppleCare? It's half of 1%. So you think, yeah, that's not a lot. How many were returned? 1.7%. And again, you're like, ooh. And then he says that's a third of the 3GS returns and a lot less than expected. And you're like, oh, okay. So they then went on to talk about the actual antenna. And they said that they still reckon iPhone 4, even with this problem, is superior to the 3GS antenna. But they did actually admit it drops one more call extra?
One extra call per 100 is the figure they said.
Yeah.
He built it up again, didn't he? He's like, yeah, we do drop more calls. And he said, guess how many? You know, what, 30 more calls per 100?
Yeah.
No, just less than one. Yeah. Just say.
So one other thing to say, 0.55% is actually 165,000 complaints.
Yes.
1.7% returns is 51,000 phones.
Yeah.
Which just makes you think how many 3GSs were returned, more than anything.
Yes.
And then
that's exactly the same thought I had.
Somebody's also done a rough 1 plus 1 per 100 is at least 30,000 dropped calls, which is a fair old number as well.
You could argue that, you know, that's pretty much the number anyway that.
Exactly. And see if they had the antenna inside. I don't think any more or less would have been returned.
No.
I don't think necessarily people are returning it because of the antenna at all.
I'd say the argument that if you don't like it, just return it, is it doesn't always hold sway in that, you know, if a product is 99% right, you still want it if there's no alternative that you want in the market. And if they've released a broken product, then they should at least try and fix it. But I don't think they have released a completely broken product. I think it has been built up by people. For the majority of people, they're not going to use it. But to say, send it back if you don't like it. Well, when you've only got one choice for, you know, your phone, which in a lot of people's minds they have.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that is. See, if you go back a couple of years, I think for a lot of people it was like, I don't have an app store elsewhere and I don't have this screen elsewhere and I don't have all this, you know, functionality and things don't work as fast. And sorry, I can go and pick up probably any Android device right now and get much of an equivalent. Which is maybe what's going to hurt Apple more. I think it is going to force people to look elsewhere out of people's perceived issue is going to force them to look elsewhere, I think.
Well, it's certainly a perceived issue outside of the people who've already got their phones, clearly, because, you know, that's where you hear
I don't have an issue. So, and I guess the odd thing was they said, we want to make everybody happy. And people have said, well, give them a bumper. So, okay, we'll give you a bumper. And even the way he said it was just like, oh, I hate saying this. You know what I mean? But again, this bit didn't, they can't make them quick enough. and they can't make enough of them, so that they're going to have to source others, and that will appear at the end of the week. So it's all still a bit confusing. So similarly, by the end of this week on Apple.com, or I guess the UK equivalent, they'll go through the procedure of how you can either order a bumper or get a refund if you've already bought one. You know what strikes me as odd? This is only to the end of September, which makes me think there'll be a hardware fix in place by then.
There's all sorts of rumours at the moment of potentially silent, not silent necessarily recalls, or where someone's getting given back products that are working better. Well,
they've talked about a kind of oxidised surface on it, yeah, so your surface vision, surface, I guess from a visual point of view, hasn't really changed. But obviously, you're now not conducting across it. You're now no longer causing the issue as before.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens, and maybe over time they'll do that. But I think, you know, they'll get over this initial step. I don't think it's going to affect their sales too badly.
It's not going to make a difference. I
would have said that, other than the fact that, yeah, even my parents are showing me articles in newspapers saying, you know, oh, this phone didn't work. Look.
Well, it was, again, BBC News, second biggest issue. Yeah. Sky News were doing it almost live from the press conference. And part of me still thinks it is a bit of a media backlash. Apple for years have manipulated the press as much as they can.
Yeah, someone said, live by the hype, die by the hype.
Well, it's the same for all, you know, if you look at some of the big stars, you know, they love it. They love to manipulate until they get caught.
Until they don't like it anymore.
And you're like, oh, you know, I need to take you to court. I don't want you to sell that story.
Yeah.
Part of me felt this was the first time I really felt that a lot of the kind of, you know, gadget blogs have turned into a bit more tabloidy. I do think there's a lot of kind of this story just kind of self-perpetuated itself into a big thing.
I think the gadget blogging and general daily tech news community have to look at themselves and think, just, you know, take a step back. Maybe by being a daily thing, they're far too close. In fact, an hourly, minutely thing, really, aren't they? They're far too close to actually get any sort of sense of reality. Even weekly, it doesn't give you really enough chance to consume and pass on news.
A lot of the reviews, so the people that got the phones that had it for a week or 4 or 5 days, you think that's enough to put together your story or your review. But there were some people picking up on the day, and then they were having the review, you know, later that night. You get no chance of getting anything.
And they're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place, though, because to get the footfall on their websites, they have to be the quickest, because there are people looking minutely for where's the first review I can look at. And a day's no good time to make
all,
a good review.
All the more reason, stop reading the blogs and wait for Digital Outbox to come in, because we're always last with the news.
It's true.
Just wait for us.
Just when you thought the reviews had finished for iPhone, we'll release one.
So is this officially the last time we talk about this?
Yeah, but that's what I think. But you know what? Something else is going to happen.
I think it's going to die down. But the only thing we're going to see is well, there's a nice case you can go and buy.
There you go.
Then see the time we talk about it? September 30th. What happens then? Windows Phone 7. Now, this is a tale of two stories.
Absolutely.
So Windows Phone 7, I think this is the early reviews of the early review.
Yeah, so they had a developer-type conference, didn't they, releasing more details about what Windows Phone 7 is all about.
Yeah. And I guess we've had a majority saying it's pretty good. And I guess when I'm saying a majority, I'm going to focus on two, Engadget and Gizmodo. They're almost violently agreeing. Engadget, honestly, hats off. That is the biggest, longest, almost dullest review
I've ever seen. Yes.
But they did go through a lot of detail. But they've ended up saying pretty positive. A really good effort. But the ideas are half-baked, which is a big risk. Yeah.
There's a lot of caveats in what they're writing, and I think it's those caveats that the other side of this story seem to concentrate on more.
And Gizmodo one was the same. It was a really good mobile device, and it's got the raw components to build a great smartphone, but again, there's all the buts that they're only... That I think everybody's saying it has to be out this year, or else they're dead. And even a lot of people are saying they're dead anyway. But the real one, the one that came out first, came from InfoWorld. And the headline was, "Don't bother with this disaster." And I'll just read from the article because it's pretty scathing. No caveats now. Windows Phone 7 is a waste of time and money. It's a platform that no carrier, device maker, developer or user should bother with. Microsoft should kill it before it ships and admit that it's out of the mobile game for good. It's supposed to ship around Christmas 2010, but anyone who gets one will prefer a lump of coal. I really mean that. And that was the first one I read, and I was like, how could it go from... Because I really like the UI. And I know if Shaku was here, he would probably be like, no, he doesn't. I'm pretty sure he was the one... I'm pretty sure anybody I've been talking to about it, he hates it. Just the UI, doesn't like it. Feels it's very flat and not very good. So this reviewer... I don't know if I wrote the reviewer's name down. I did a bit, but we'll come on to that. He's so seeing the UI in action across several tasks, not just in a highly controlled presentation, shows how awkward and unsophisticated it is. He says it rests on creakingly old technology. I was appalled, flummoxed and stupefied by what I saw and the answers to the questions from the 15 or so developers in the audience. And they said there was a lack of attendance and passion in the room, spoke volumes about Windows Phone 7's ultimate fate. The bottom line is this: Windows Phone 7 is a pale imitation of the 2007 era iPhone. It's as if Microsoft decided in summer 2007 to copy the iPhone and has shut its developers in a bunker ever since. So they don't realise that several years have passed. I was going to say it's three, but several sounds so much more dramatic. That the iPhone has advanced and that competitors such as Google Android and Palmwell OS have also pushed the needle forward. Microsoft is stuck in 2007 with a smartphone OS whose feature checklist might match that in his iPhone, but his fit and finish would look like a Pinto next to a Maserati. And that's, thanks to your diligent work, is by Galen Grumman.
There you go.
Who seemingly worked for Macworld at one point.
To be honest, let's move away from, again, conspiracy stories. I mean, a headline like this will damage the, expectations, I guess. And it's the same kind of thing that happened to Palm OS, but you never know until it gets to the sales. I mean, he's a bit premature in saying that no one's going to enjoy it. Microsoft are, relentless in their support for developers, basically. So to say that a developer won't like it is, I would say is a bit premature. And who knows? I mean, the one thing we will take away from all three of these, the common point from all three of these things is they don't know how it's going to be ready in time for December.
No.
That's worrying.
It's not going to fly. You've got two big options now, and I don't think there's room for a third.
I think I tend to agree. Again, my buying choice was going to wait to see what Windows 7, Windows Phone 7 was going to be like. And already now I'm starting, again, an article like that can make someone like myself question that.
Well, especially the bit that you're going to struggle with is you've got, you almost know what you're getting with an iPhone now, and you almost now know what you're getting with Android.
Yeah.
You're getting both of them really good products. And Brian, one of the guys we know, he's picked up an Android, is loving it. And I just put on his post last night that I just feel that the Android's now, the Android and iPhone equivalent, and there's plus, I guess there's a couple of pluses and minuses on either side. It's going to make you go for one, and you're going to have a great product. Doesn't really matter. I just don't think there's room. The same that Palm never took off, and if this looks to be equivalent to a Palm or less, I just don't see how they're going to get market share unless Enterprise goes in for it big style, and you end up with millions of devices.
It doesn't look like an Enterprise phone though.
Nope. No. And just out of interest, the author of that article also wrote the Mac OS X Snow Leopard Bible. I say no more, just in case that's tabloid-esque.
Crikey, I've completely forgot my point. It was going to be very important, I'm sure, and insightful.
To be honest, that's the most insightful you've been in months.
Damn, it was going to be a good point.
Speaking of being insightful... Wired. We've mentioned Wired a few times. I really do like it. 11 years ago, they ran an article about what all the tech companies are going to bring out next. And on Apple, they had this little ditty. The next iMac attack promises new lollipop laptops, a more serious series of professional machines, and a wireless handheld dubbed the iPad.
But didn't Mac even say that they were...
They were.
They were developing back then, but it kind of got turned into the iPhone eventually.
So when Jobs did his All Things D conference this year, he kind of let slip that they started off with the iPad. And I think it was due to battery life and other things that they ended up saying, hold on, this is going to be better as a phone, and they focused on the phone side of things. And he says they shelved the iPad. So there you go.
I bet Wired wish they'd copyrighted that name now.
Oh, 11 years. Yeah. And it's quite amazing that it sat there for all that time with nobody picking up on it. And it was only, I think it was only 4 or 5 days ago that somebody stumbled on the fact that they had that as an article.
They called it right.
Aye, absolutely. One other small update from last week's stories, the broadband commitment we were mentioning. There's a whole lot of broadband initiatives in the UK about 2012. And the government was quite non-committal at some of the launches last week. And no surprise, they've come out this week and said, well, we're not going to deliver universal access of 2 meg in 2012. It's now 2015.
I mean, to be honest, after all the announcement of cuts and stuff, it's no surprise that they're delaying things like that. I mean, it's disappointing. But, you know, but I don't know. Well, no surprise, but disappointing.
It just seems very unambitious. But
yeah, incredibly. And especially as that could potentially save money in the, not even in the long term, the short term, medium.
But there's no money left.
Mm. And it does cost a lot to put 2 megabit connection out to the sticks. Potentially.
Yeah. I was waiting for you to come up with some shady Scottish reference about living in the back of beyond.
Wales again.
I was thinking about you, to be honest.
I'm not that in the back of beyond. I'm just disappointed, disappointingly underprovided for.
Little Britain springs to mind yet again. The Times paywall we have mentioned before, and it's now live.
Which I didn't realise, but was quite excited to get turned away from looking at an article.
Well, the only reason I knew it was up and running was one of the guys at work now just constantly talks about the Telegraph instead of talking about the Times.
Right.
And eventually it came up this morning, he was talking about, I was reading the Telegraph, and I was like, hold on. I said, have you just stopped reading the Times because you can't read it anymore? Yeah, basically.
So that's kind of a sad thing about this, that people are going to be turned onto the Telegraph instead.
Exactly.
And anyone who thinks the Times is quite... quite conservative is never read the Telegraph.
I did see that. What a Tory rag you've turned
to. He's gonna
I did mention the Guardian, but that was met with a kind of ha 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 social worker.
Student social worker.
Pretty much. So Times paywall update. They have not come out with any official figures yet on how good or bad it's doing. But Experian Hitwise, who are a web analytics firm, they reckon that at least 2/3 of the Times and Sunday Times web traffic has melted away. And I guess the interesting thing, if that's true, it's probably not bad, because the Times at first said they reckon 90% were going to drop away.
I just don't see how it can ever be a good thing for a website to lose traffic. It just...
Well, if the 10% are paying money...
But at the moment, we've got a 2/3 drop when it's, what is it, £1 at the moment for 30 days?
Yes.
And it's not going to stay like that for very long.
No. So, but there's another site called Beehive City. I think I've just made these up, to be honest.
So I don't know how they know.
Well, they have said that they reckon there's 15,000 people have signed up to pay for access to the paper's two websites. And that's including using this opening offer of £1 for 30 days. So they reckon 150,000 registered during the free trial period, but only a small minority then opted to pay.
So that is only 10%, isn't it?
Yes.
So
15,000 is very low. But
so that's only 15,000 people are now looking at the Times website. I mean, digital outbox. We could aim for as big as the Times.
We could be. Maybe we should charge.
Yeah. If we knock off 90% of our 90% of our lookers, then I think, get my point.
For more insightful comment, please visit. The reason why people are believing Beehive City is that it's a former Times employee that runs this company now.
So I still don't know why that means he knows. I mean, ISPs might be able to see.
Yeah, there was something about he recently left and he has a lot of inside knowledge still. and the Times didn't want to confirm or deny. Guardian spent a good while trying to say it was worse than that, but it's obviously in their interest to try and make it out that their model is a far better model.
See, if it was a pound for 30 days constantly going forward, then maybe that becomes much more... I mean, that it's one of those... That's kind of almost like an app payment, isn't it? You know, you don't even think about it.
Yeah, because once the pound for 30 days is gone, it's £2 a week.
Yeah, so £2 every week. Yeah, I'm not interested in doing that, personally.
No.
And I expect a lot of people aren't. And say, if they've only got 15,000 at this lower rate, going to a higher rate, you know, they could end up with 1,000
I just
people.
Don't think that the level of journalism doesn't justify it. I know there's all this argument about you need to pay for this you know, journalistic content, but I don't get it.
It's kind of, right, you never know. It may be if more and more people do wall themselves off, you know, you will have to start paying. But, you know, it won't be a replacement for advertising. That's the thing. I mean, their advertising attractiveness online now is zero. You know, they're just not going to be able to attract advertisers online because, you know, who wants to just get to 15,000 people?
No, and that's the bit that I just, you know, and even if you were, I read somewhere else, somebody saying, if you were a celeb right now and you wanted to sell a story, you're not going to go to somebody behind a paywall.
Well, Mandelson did.
Yeah, but he's...
Well, they probably paid him, to be honest, just because they're...
He's a dick.
Quite frankly, there's stronger words we could use, but not without
it. He is a dick.
He is horrible. No, I mean,
he's just...
as a human being, he is ultimately slimy.
Honestly,
is the human incarnation of slime.
See if there was like a... See if there was like a... If you could just go online and order a knee capping. I'm sure we could get more than 15,000 people to help pay for that.
I think I actually prefer Jordan to him. And that's saying something, because she's high on my hit list.
You have a list?
Yeah, I'm setting up a kneecapping website.
Now, you could put this on Facebook and we could... No, I better not.
Let's not go there. just in fact, we're already going to probably get raided.
Just as another rabbit hole, on Twitter this week, there was a bit of a BBC ripoff and all this kind of nonsense, and we love the BBC, and people were saying why they love the BBC. Everybody's paying £2.80 a week for the licence fee for the BBC. So what would you rather have, a BBC at £2.80 or Times at £2 a week for two websites?
And that's
websites?
Not just the BBC News, that's BBC TV, TVC Radio, and all their websites, all their news, for 80p more than the Times for their two websites.
Yes.
Yep. It just makes it sort of an eye-opener.
Opened my eyes anyway.
Yep.
Another, it seems to be a week of dubious stats.
Yeah, sneaky stories.
Amazon. I'm just realising as well that there's a fire brigade or ambulance about to go by, which you might hear. And honestly, there's not like some mass murder going on. It's, like, it's
just the daily sounds of Glasgow.
Pretty much. Oi, ball bag. I'm going to have to edit some of this stuff tonight. because it's definitely far worse than that. Amazon. In the world of increasingly long-nosed Pinocchio stats. So they've come out with ebooks outsells hardcovers. And I think the story is more that the journalists are trying to work out, what do you actually mean?
Right. And I think I, like most people, probably read this story as, wow, they're selling more ebooks than they are regular books.
Yep,
and it's
absolutely.
Not until you take a second look, that you kind of read hardcover and think, ah, okay, so it's only hardback books.
Indeed. So Amazon.com customers now purchase more Kindle books than hardcover books, which is seemingly astonishing when you consider they've been selling hardcover books for 15 years and Kindle books for only 33 months. And when I read that, I felt like saying we've been selling books for like 100 years, mate.
They did mention actually that the hardcover book sales are still going up, which I found quite amazing actually.
Yeah, but you don't know going up from and to.
No, sure.
So, they also said that the growth rate of the Kindle device unit sales has tripled since we lowered the price from $259 to $189.
And again, that may have been because that's the same time they released the European version.
Or we're selling 10 and we're now selling 30. you just can't. Yeah. It's just back to the world of stats.
It rings of them wanting to raise the Kindle as a talking device, you know, talking thing again. because they are being seriously pressured by other options.
But also remember, Kindle books, you know, you can, on the iPad and on the iPhone, you can now buy Kindle books.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of devices that you can now buy Kindle books from. It's not just that cheap, nasty-looking piece of junk that they sell.
I still think, though, that the actual Kindle is a relevant device. Just because I don't... To people who genuinely are book readers... The iPad is not a device for someone like that, because there's a whole ton of stuff you don't need and it costs £600.
Oh, there's a whole ton of stuff you can do that you can't do on a Kindle.
Yeah, but that's it. That's why I think it's a relevant device, because it's focused and it does what it does very, very well. So I think that's why it's still relevant. You obviously don't agree.
No. Well, I just look at that, and I know it's dearer, but I can spend £400 on an iPad.
But you didn't. You spent £700.
No, but I can spend £400. No, that's like saying, well, you can go and buy a £189 Kindle, or you can go and buy the one at £399.
It's not £189, is it?
Though? $189.
Yeah, so that's quite a lot less, really.
Or I could go and buy the one at £399, which is dearer. It's the same argument. Toss. You're just winding me up now. I just don't see the point of spending that money on a bit of crap plastic that's black and white and it's going to sit in my bag. Or I can spend something, but you know, maybe slightly more on an iPad or an Android tablet.
Slightly more. In your world, it's slightly more. Everyone else's world, it's multiple times more.
Value for money.
Okay.
Value for money.
Good on Squeak,
aren't I? I think you can do the next one. Yeah. Google remains in China.
Yep. So Google this week has been granted an extension to its trading license in China after their arguments about uncensoring their results. And they've got around it by doing a technical tweak if you're inside China, you used to get redirected straight to their Hong Kong domain name if you tried to go to Google. And now they've changed that to being a manual you have to click through to the Hong Kong site. So Google kind of save face, and they're still offering uncensored web results now, effectively. Yet China are happy that it kind of satisfies their needs whilst not getting rid of Google, which I don't think they ultimately wanted to do. It doesn't mean that people in China can see uncensored web, though, because the firewall actually stops them from getting any sites that they don't want you to see. But I guess it's a win-win for everyone all round, although it's still a bit dubious because, you know, it's not really what Google says they're all about.
You know what this is? It's a bit of Hong Kong fooey.
Hong Kong fooey, number one super guy. Hong Kong fooey, quicker than the human eye.
I'm trying to remember, was he Henry the Mild Mannered Janitor?
He might have been, yes.
Was it Henry?
I don't know if it's Henry.
Like the way we're just
you're rambling.
Yeah.
That's more interesting than our next story, which is that we have had a blogging platform taken down this week. So there was Blogity.com, which hosted...
Was it taken down just for the worst name in the world?
Probably. But it was hosting some 70,000 blogs. Now, the FBI contacted their hosting provider called, give me 2 seconds, BurstNet. And they popped the bubble because the BurstNet... They took down this site because the FBI said they'd found links to terrorist material and an Al-Qaeda hit list on, on one of the sites hosted by Blogity or on a couple of them, whatever. But anyway, so BurstNet, instead of sort of trying to get the situation sorted, just blank took down the whole site. So the server got taken out. So 70,000 blogs were taken away. And it just seemed like that. I mean, there's been no resolution to this. The BurstNet say that the terms of service had been broken, so they took the server away. But there was no notification to users or any warning this was going to happen. So a lot of people have lost a lot of stuff. And it just seems a very irrational and over the top response to the terrorists. You know, that's was my impression from this story.
Well, the thing is, it's like I could link to your website and then you could change it and host a whole load of stuff. And how would I know? How do you? You don't keep up to date with all your links.
But it's not just. But that. But it's not even that you could link to my website. It's like someone else effectively a completely separate site can link to another website that then changes its details, and then suddenly your site's gone because of their actions. Their actions could have been completely innocent. And it seems like the worst way to deal with the situation. I know these are problems that they're going to have to start dealing with, but would you take down the whole of WordPress? I'm sure there's going to be WordPress sites out there that link to dodgy material.
There must be. And then it's back to the whole, if they're linking to it, does that not mean you need to take Google down?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know that a lot of the torrent sites always say that, and it's always a bit dubious, but if you're worried about linking it to this material, surely you've got to hit every search engine and treat them the same way.
But the thing is, I don't think this is by an FBI order. FBI kind of approached them and said, "You know, okay. It's actually the hosting provider who has made that decision to pull down this website. I wonder where it's going to go. But yeah, so I can see how that hosting provider might be quite worried and scared by a full on legal approach like that. But nevertheless. Incorrect action on their part. And I feel sorry for if you were on Bloggity. Although, why were you there and not WordPress, eh?
That was you and your best secretary voice yet.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Jolly good. Speaking of jolly. Oh, I've had that in my head since Saturday night. So, Jolly Cloud, which I'm sure I've mentioned before.
If you have, it's completely passed me by.
And it's been met with, well, most things do.
Yeah, that's true.
So Jolly Cloud is a web-based operating system. So, and I guess probably most similar to Chrome OS that everybody's waiting for this year.
Think Chrome OS, yeah.
But Jolly Cloud's been, I'm sure it's been around the last 18 months it's been talked about. And I always liked the look of it. I always thought the front end looked, out of all these competing different operating systems, that was the one I'd really like to use in a little netbook. It just looked ideal. Yeah. It's now reached a 1.0 release, and it's also rewritten quite a bit of it, so it's now all built on HTML5.
So what they've actually done is taken the Chromium project, which is obviously Chrome OS, and built theirs on top of that. Yeah. That's as I understand it. Yep.
And it looks rather spiffy.
It does.
It has the ability to run web-based applications alongside traditional desktop apps. So it does have the best of both worlds if you're sitting on a netbook.
Yes, whether that means the best of both worlds means, you know, compromised in other ways. We'll get to see.
We won't know until Chrome OS comes out and we get to understand exactly what Google mean by this Chrome operating system. When you actually install it, you can also access files previously stored on your computer's hard drive. And I think in the future version, they're planning to offer tools to move these from the hard drive to the cloud. So I don't know if some sort of deal with Dropbox or somebody else or something similar, so you can move your files onto the cloud. They also have an app center, which has got 700 apps in it as well. And because it's cloud-based or it's web-based, if you do set it up in multiple machines, then your settings will synchronize between each of the devices. Sounds an excellent product.
Yeah, so it's definitely it's Chrome OS with the addition that you can have applications. I mean, it's interested me enough that I'm definitely going to download it and have a play.
Yeah, I wanted to grab it and stick it on a VM just so I can actually play around with it.
Yep, absolutely.
So that's jollycloud.com, and it's JOLI.
Yep.
A couple of Xbox stories. So the Xbox 360, and I've written down S. I'm still not sure if it has changed its name.
There's all sorts of different names going around, but I think most of them are internet made up rather. I think it's just Xbox 360.
So basically, the new 360, the one that's piano black and sucks in your dust like a Hoover, came out last Friday. It looks like it's a massive success. Retailers are struggling to get new stock in, and it's almost a sellout. I don't know if that's just because limited stock or it really is popular. And from the aforementioned Brian Bernalik, he's got one and it is whisper quiet at a distance.
Yep, so they've snuck in an extra fan into the power brick, but that's about you know, but people say even with that fan and the fan inside the console, it's just noticeably quiet.
Well, I know people that have opened up and replaced the fans in the old one just to put in silent fans, which makes a big, big difference as well. Yeah.
But that's kind of a geeky thing to do, really, isn't it?
It's geeky, and then when you do get your Red Ring of Death, because you will get it, then they're probably not going to fix it for you.
Yeah, I'm kind of gutted that I got my Red Ring of Death again not too long ago, so I've only just upgraded, so I'm not going to do this. But when I was in game the other day, and I saw at least four people walking out in the time I was in there, and I wasn't in there long. with their new unit, and it wasn't on launch day. It was
I'm glad you added that bit at the end, because I was going to say four people walking at a store doesn't seem remarkable in any way.
It was I'm trying to work out what day it was on.
Friday?
No, because Friday was launch day, wasn't it?
God, this is like a guess the date.
I think it was Saturday.
Saturday?
Saturday lunchtime, I think.
Would I win?
So yeah, I mean, but I was quite tempted by it. It's a great price. Good. You know,
so it's 200 quid, and they've also got some trade-in deals if you've currently got some Xboxes.
Yep, so it's 200 quid down and with a bigger hard disk drive,
250.
All integrated.
Wireless.
But it doesn't come with the blooming HDMI cable, which just seems a bit ridiculous,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, but you can buy one for £2.
Yeah, sure. Exactly, but then why isn't it in the box?
I've probably got three in a box in a cupboard.
Yes, but I don't think you're normal. I think we could list most things and say you've probably got one of them in the cupboard somewhere.
No, I gave away the doll. Another piece of Xbox news, Kinect pricing has been revealed. So Kinect, the new name for Project Natal, is coming out in November, they reckon, and the UK price for Kinect and a copy of Kinect Adventures, the must-have game, is £129.99 of your good English pence, which is an amazingly high price.
You say it's high.
And I think that's
I don't
high.
See it as high. I think if you take out that game, which the only way they're going to sell that game is by having it as an integrated game, because it looks
so
rubbish.
Remember, this is a peripheral. This is £130 on a peripheral.
But it's a proper piece of hardware. It's not a
peripheral.
No, I would say that that's exactly the price I was expecting without that game in it. So,
do you think that's good value?
I don't think it's bad value. I think it's, you know, it's.
So you do think it's good value? You're mad.
No, it's mad. It's not what I consider good value. I'd consider that under 100 quid to be good value.
Officially,
it's definitely inside the line of what I thought they were going to charge for it.
Officially, you are the Digital Outbox Kinect reviewer. I looked forward to seeing your video review of Kinect.
I mean, we did talk about this a while back, and I can't remember what we all said. We'll have to go back over the notes and see what we all said that we thought it was going to come
out. I think that's what I said.
And I said, you know, depending on the price, I'm pretty sure this is in the range that I thought it was going to be.
Should have been £100 tops.
Says the man who buys. No, let's not get it.
Says the man who buys what? Go on, spit out. iPads.
Yeah, iPads and iPhones and everything else.
All Spice.
Yep. So, do you buy that as well?
No, I was going to say this is probably your favourite product.
Mind you, after the ads, I almost feel like buying an All Spice. I was going to say jar. I think it comes in jars.
So I have to say, fair play to All Spice. Who, I don't know. Oh no, that's brute. I was going to say I'm thinking of some shady Kevin Keegan and advert. That was brute. And Henry Cooper.
you're talking well outside my comfort zone at the moment.
Oh, don't give us it. You're over 30. Don't give us that nonsense. Old Spice had probably the perfect viral video campaign last week. And you
this is subsequent to their TV advert, which was very funny as well.
Yes. So you could send the Old Spice guy a message through Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, and he would give you a visual retort. And considering the amount of videos that they put out, I mean, there was hundreds of these things. And what they reckon they've done is basically they've sat in a studio for 2 or 3 days and filmed as many videos as they could, actually replying to people.
Yeah, and what it's done is it's just lit up Twitter, obviously, with everyone wanting to get their own video reply. So Twitter has been trending heavily. on Old Spice.
Massively. And also people are just, it just involves so many people.
Yeah.
And
of course, whenever a new reply gets put up, you know, you get the next bubble of trending going on.
And what do you think it's taken? So they've got the actor for 2 or 3 days. They've probably got, one scriptwriter, two scriptwriters sitting there just trying to scribble replies.
Absolutely, yeah. And a camcorder.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, very, very clever.
And it's not costing them much because it all just gets thrown up on YouTube.
That's it. They don't have to pay for any bandwidth or anything like that. Brilliant. Very clever.
Who'd have thunk it?
Who'd have thunk it?
Does it make you want to buy it, but?
Only because I think they're clever, but not because I actually want to use their product.
Not because you've got a BO.
Not because I was going to say not because I stink, but actually you'd stink after you use their product.
I was going to say, I like the way you clarified that really quickly. It is quite warm for a podcast.
Yes. And I got the window shut.
Maybe we should actually say, maybe we should suggest that. Sponsored by Old Spice.
Yeah, I'll be sponsored by Old Spice. We're sponsored by anyone, to be honest.
Oh, don't tempt me. Right, that's our news for the week. We're going to go on to our picks. Now, I have to say, unfortunately, Henry couldn't make it again tonight. He has during the recording sent me a message which kind of distracted me very slightly as I was in mid speak. But he's not going to make it tonight. But he has got his Mac back, so I'm sure he'll be back with us next week.
Ray.
And I'm sure he'll be able to do this pick because he has had the same pick in for about the last 6 shows, and for whatever reason, he's either not made it, he's had to run away, or his Mac's crashed. So,
so sadly, this is, you're still going to have to hang on for his.
They're great as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, massively out of date. No, that's not true. So I'll let you go first this week.
Okay. Well, my pick is topical for what I had to reinstall a netbook last week as it was. And I tell you what, it's a pain in the backside not having any optical drives or anything like that to do it. And there is somewhere online there is a million step process of how you can install Windows using a USB dongle, whatever. But to the rescue came Win2Flash. Which is a little beta application that will just take your copy of a disk that you put into your drive and convert it into a USB installation that just plugs straight into your netbook and off you go. It saved me a lot of time and headaches. So that is Win2Flash. com WINTOFLASH. There we go.
Fantastic. Win and flash in the same word, same line, same URL. That's what I meant to say.
And nothing to do with Adobe.
No. So, last week I said that I felt a bit dirty doing an iPad pick. So this week I'm going to do an iPad pick. But I just couldn't not mention this game. It's a game called Conquist. That's Conquist. And it's basically Risk for the iPad.
Yeah, okay.
And it is
Risk without the trademarks.
Pretty much. It's not free, it's $2.39. But great presentation, and it plays a really good game. What's quite interesting, I've done it actually like a proper board game, and that you can see the world map in front of you, and you can pick up to 6 players, and there could be 6 sitting around a table, and it presents, you know, if I'm sitting in the left corner and somebody's in the right corner and somebody's side on, it presents the screen to you or presents your options as if you're sitting around a table. So you can play against other humans, or you can pick bots to play against. There's a couple of different game modes. You can't play it online, which would be really nice. See if it had a kind of almost like a Words with Friends type turn-based approach. I think that would be really, really good.
For a strategy game that doesn't always have to be so quick-fire, yeah, it sounds like a good option.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people would be a bit more quick-fire about it.
Yeah. I loved it. I downloaded it and I played the first game for about an hour and a half.
So that'd probably be the only time you use it.
No, I've had loads of games since. Really, really impressed. And I guess that was the kind of game I wanted more than the iPad. See, having the bigger screen, I wanted games to, you know, I want a kind of Red Alert A, Command and Conquer A type game as well. And there's ones out there, but they're just not being very well rated at the moment.
How is the DS, how's Nintendo DS going to survive this? You know, you get big 3D, games man. Like this.
3D, remember we slagged off the 3D?
Yeah, but I don't think that's enough to.
But remember, we slagged it off, and I just thought, and I was probably more scared, just thinking, what a gimmick. The after that, my Edge magazine popped through, and they loved it. They said, "You just don't understand how good it is until you play it."
But okay, but it's the difference between how much is a 3D game going to cost? It's going to be more than £30 probably.
No,
when you can get these offerings on the iPad and the.
I don't think it will be. I think it'll be £30.
Okay, well, whatever. It's still £30. It's still, that much more, isn't it? Compared to, £2.39.
I think it will be hard, but there is quite a lot of licenses that haven't come to iPhone and iPad, and they never will. There's still going to be a good market for great, Mario games, Zelda games. People still
I don't think it's going to be long before DS falls away, I'm afraid.
Maybe. I mean, the PSP for me is dead, but I think they still sell quite a bit. And maybe it's just a generational thing.
Maybe.
So if you had kids right now, would you be happy with a 10-year-old with a DS, and would you be happy with them with an iPhone 4 costing £600?
No, agreed. Yeah.
So I guess there's still that kind of issue. And one other game to mention, and this is probably because you cuffed me at it on Xbox Live. It's Carcassonne. Is that the right pronunciation?
I think so. Yeah.
Which I think is a German game.
Isn't that French? I don't know.
Well, I remember. The only reason I say that is I remember reading somewhere how it was a German strategy game.
Carcassonne will now be a German town, won't it, or something? I'm not sure.
I can hear your fat fingers going into work. It
says Carcassonne is in France, but whether it's made by Germany, I don't know.
Hold on. Ooh, I'm going to have to look this up.
This is a German-style board game.
Aha. Does that mean we're both right?
Designed
then?
By Klaus Jürgen.
No, Schnell.
Designed by Klaus Jürgen Werder.
Klaus.
Excellent.
You sounded a bit Swedish there.
Yes, but that's because his name sounds Klaus Jürgen Werder.
Hurdy-gurdy, dildo. Mm-hmm. That's another story that I'll tell you afterwards. class. Anyway, Carcassonne is on the iPhone. It's been out for quite a while. And I had resisted. But I've now purchased, because it's about to go universal, so it'll be on the iPad as well, just with the same app, and there'll be a price rise when it goes to an iPad, or when it goes to a universal app. At the moment, it's only $2.99. The graphics are gorgeous. It is a lovely little game. And this, you can play online, a bit like Words with Friends. So, Chris, you need to buy it.
Okay, I'll give you a game.
Thanks. And I'm sure it's a lovely game. I have still no clue what I'm supposed to do. I'm sure with a bit of practice, I will get there. But definitely, if you've got an iPad, Conquest is highly recommended.
There you go.
And that's our show. That's us done. If you want to find out more about us, our website is at digitaloutbox.com. And we'd love to get an email, info@digitaloutbox.com, and we're on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. And while you're at it, visit iTunes and rate us.
Yes, please.
Pretty please.
Thanks to everyone that has rated, by the way.
Especially our Japanese listener. That made me smile, that email. And I know I should have the guy's name, but I'm crap. The preparation's not my strong point. Chris, tell us where we can get you on Twitter.
Twitter on Cheesy UK.
You should also mention your Flickr photos, because I thought they were rather splendid from the F1 visit you did.
Okay, if I could remember what it is, it's probably Flickr on Cheesy UK or something. I can't remember.
Fail. My blog's iand.net and my Twitter is Shweeper. So thanks for listening. Join us again soon.
See you next time.
Goodbye.